A probe into the Mandurah boat crash, new alcohol restrictions for Alice Springs, and more drama for Qantas. It's Wednesday, the 25th of January.
The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
G'day, Matty.
G'day, mate. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day to you too. Now, tell me about this motorbike chase that happened through Perth's north last night.
Yeah, so an hour-long chase through our northern suburbs, including Balcatta, Nollamara, North Perth, Yokine. People may have heard the commotion last night. Two people have been arrested over this. Now, it was a suspected stolen motorbike that police were chasing. So investigations are continuing this morning. Those two people are being questioned, and we should have an update throughout the day.
I'm actually amazed that still alive. Yeah. Like a motorbike chase doesn't get much more dangerous than that. And now we've been speaking a lot this week about the shocking boat crash tragedy in Mandurah last weekend. What's the latest on that one?
So what we know so far is detectives have spoken with the only person who was unharmed from the crash. They went to his house. We also understand that they've spoken to the skipper of the vessel as well, who's in a serious but stable condition in Royal Perth Hospital. So that investigation is continuing. No charges as yet. But of course, everything is being looked at, including the visibility of markers, the speed of the boat. It's, you know, a wide-ranging investigation.
Yeah, and there's no suggestion that alcohol was involved in this particular incident, but it's certainly interesting that it comes as Kate Campbell, who you'll remember was almost killed in a boat accident caused by a drunken skipper in 2007, has come out and lashed the state government for failing to introduce random breath testing for boaties more than a decade after she started campaigning for it. She was a 19-year-old university student when she was left in a coma with life-threatening injuries after Luke Woollard crashed the boat he was helming into a navigational marker in the Canning River. And now it's been 13 years since that happened, and she's been campaigning for legislation to give police more powers to random breath test skippers. The McGowan government flagged an intention to introduce laws like this back in 2018, but it hasn't become a reality yet. And WA is now among one of the only states in Australia that doesn't have the power to breathalyse skippers.
Yeah, I don't understand why this is the case.
Yeah, Rita Saffioti has come out recently and said that it's not that easy. It's proved to be a little bit challenging to legislate and to bring these laws in to develop the laws.
So how have other states done it?
I know. We'll see.
I mean, if you can do it on the road, you can do it on the water.
I get the feeling it'll move forward.
Yeah.
And now, WA nurses have been fighting the government for better pay and conditions, but the union has been in the spotlight too for all the wrong reasons. And now we know there's a big change coming.
Yeah, they're looking for a new boss. Mark Olson has resigned. This all came to light because of an advertisement on Seek. the Nursing Federation was seeking a new CEO. So it turns out that he asked to be let out of his contract a year early, and the ANF has allowed that. He's going to stay as interim CEO until a new boss is appointed. Not ideal during the middle of this pay dispute for a new boss to have to come in. Imagine that new boss, though. Yeah. You know, like, you know when people start a new job and it's like, first day, I'm just going to get to know people.
Figure out where the toilets and the cafeteria is.
Exactly. And that person's going to be walking into a pay dispute with a lot of angry nurses.
Yeah, but I'd love to see what the Seek ad said, though. The Nurses Union is looking for a CEO, which is a role that didn't even exist until last year when the previous state secretary didn't want to give up his grip on power. But it's totally a real job. So I guess we'll see how that one goes. And it hasn't been a good start to the year for Qantas. They've had a lot of problems, the Flying Kangaroo, and the woes are continuing.
Yeah, they're just having a shocker, aren't they? Start to 2023 for them. So a flight from Perth to Kalgoorlie has had to turn back. It landed safely back in Perth. It was about 50 minutes into the journey when it had to turn around. Now, Qantas says that, look, it could have continued to Kalgoorlie. There was a mechanical fault, apparently, but it said there's no engineering support there, so that's why they turned around the plane. Engineers did take a look at the aircraft when it landed back in Perth. Apparently, it was cleared for takeoff, took off fine again. But in the past week, seven incidents. Seven.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It kind of makes you wonder, does this happen and we don't usually hear about it and we're focusing on it? Or is there something going on behind the scenes that is creating a situation where we're having incident after incident.
Well, I think we know it's an industry that is under extreme pressure right now. They're facing the same worker shortages that everybody else is. So, you know, it's not hard to believe that that could be having an impact on the engineering side.
Yeah.
Let's just hope that all of the issues are minor like this and the planes get turned around, everyone lands safely, and we just complain about it a bit, and that's all. And now there'll be immediate restrictions on alcohol sales and more than $50 million worth of community support to restore order and safety to Alice Springs, where alcohol-related violent crime and antisocial behaviour have reached extreme levels. We spoke about this earlier in the week, Maddie. PM Anthony Albanese met with locals and NT officials last night at the emergency summit, where he also announced that Arenda woman Darrell Anderson, who is the first Aboriginal director of the Northern Territory's Families Department, is going to be appointed in this interesting position as Central Australian Regional Controller to coordinate those immediate efforts. And she'll report back to Albo. She's due to make her first report, I think, at the start of February. And some of the changes that the NT government is bringing in, there'll be takeaway alcohol-free days on Monday and Tuesday, alcohol-reduced hours on other days, and takeaways are allowed between 3pm and 7pm with a limit of one transaction per person each day. Obviously, people want to buy alcohol, a lot of bottle shops. It's, you know, it probably pretty hard to police, but any change has been welcomed by the local Indigenous elders, but they say it needs to be more than just a booze ban. There needs to be some more support as well. I guess we'll see.
I mean, significant that the Prime Minister went there. Good. How many time. Prime Ministers would go, oh, there's an alcohol problem in the middle of Australia, I'm going to go there?
Yep, none.
Yeah,
certainly, I wouldn't say many coalition prime ministers. So I think it's a reflection of how serious the Labor government is on fixing a lot of issues that Indigenous Australians have been living with for a long time. And now over in America, this is a fascinating story. The district attorney in the U.S. state of Georgia has suggested that the special grand jury investigating Donald Trump's efforts to upend the 2020 election in that state have recommended multiple indictments and said that her decision on whether to bring charges is imminent. The Georgia probe began soon after, you remember this, Donald Trump phoned Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger in January 2021, pressing him to find the votes necessary for Trump to win the state, which in the end he lost to Joe Biden by nearly 12,000 votes.
That's a lot of votes to find.
A lot of votes to find. The special grand jury has penned this highly anticipated final report. It's a culmination of 7 months of work, which included interviewing 75 witnesses from Raffensperger to former Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani. You interested to see where this one's going to go?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think Trump's run for the White House again may be over before it begins.
I think so. And now, do you get migraines?
I don't really get migraines. Every now and then I'll get like a really bad tension headache.
Yeah.
Sorry, is that what you're wanting to know?
No, it's all very interesting.
But it's all up in my shoulders and my neck. The moment I get a massage, I just need a massage and then I'm done, or need to, you know, really press really hard, or sometimes like in my jaw, you know, when you have to press the sides of your face.
Some people get it much worse than that. And based on international studies, an estimated 4.9 million Australians live with migraines. It's a lot. And in fact, some listeners might even be experiencing one right now, but there's still so much we don't know about what causes them. You've obviously figured it out, or the best way to treat them, which is why a lot of Aussies will be excited to learn that Monash University is going to embark on an Australian first study of what is really a major public health issue. It aims to fill in the gap in migraine knowledge by determining the most efficient way to capture its prevalence, how it impacts people, and the treatment gaps that currently exist in the Australian community. It'll be a precursor to an Australian-wide study of migraine prevalence and management, and the results are expected later this year.
Oh, interesting.
Sport.
Now, the Scorchers are back in the BBL finals, and you've got a ticketing update for the fans.
Yes, tickets go on sale from 1pm today through Ticketmaster. You're going to have to get in quick. We're told it's going to be packed to the rafters, more than 50,000 people expected for Saturday's qualifier. Of course, up for grabs, the right to host the decider. So it's going to be a big game against the Sixers. And, of course, Steve Smith is on fire moment. So it's going to be a blockbuster clash.
Yeah, absolute cracker.
The Wild West.
Now, Maddie, I've got a couple of animal stories in the Wild West.
Oh, I love that journey for you.
And so sportswear giant Nike could be hit by a proposal in the US state of Oregon to ban the sale of kangaroo leather. And all kangaroo parts, including, I guess, the little scrote. key rings. I don't know if they sell them in Oregon, but certainly kangaroo leather. So.
Hang on a minute. Does Nike use kangaroo leather?
In their soccer boots.
I did not know that.
Yeah. For various reasons. They're apparently the best ones for the soccer boots. And a Democrat senator in the state of Oregon, Floyd Przanski, has said it's unconscionable that millions of native wild animals in Australia have been killed for the sake of high-end soccer cleats worn by a subset of elite soccer players.
Hang on. Are kangaroos being killed for the leather?
Or are they just using roadkill? It's the normal like commercial harvest of kangaroos in Australia, which is completely legal, where the conservation and culling of a kangaroo still occurs, obviously. And Australian ecologists have argued that banning the commercial trade would be detrimental to the welfare of kangaroos by allowing overpopulation. So that's kind of the background of it here in Australia. And the Australian government has defended the industry and people have said that maybe there's a bit of a misinformation campaign happening over there in America.
Okay.
That they think it's like, you know, like we are cruelly killing our sort of national emblem.
I mean, never mind that they're shooting everybody over there, but yeah, okay.
Maybe worry about that, Yanks. And now, fish and chip shop customers, that's hard to say, in South Australia are eating, get this, when they're ordering flake, they're actually getting threatened and imported shark species. With less than a third of servings meeting seafood labelling standards, according to an investigation by the University of Adelaide.
I thought flake was like gummy shark.
That's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be gummy shark or something called New Zealand rig, is the only thing that's supposed to be sold as flake in Australia. But in South Australia, and I reckon probably in other states if they dared to check, there's a lot of other things going into your flake. So this DNA analysis of 96 serves of flake in a variety of fish and chip shops found that only 29 of the 96 were actually gummy shark.
Ooh.
There were 3 servings of narrow nose smooth hound, which is a critically endangered shark caught in South America, 2 servings of...
How did that even get to South Australia?
I know. 2 servings of short fin mako shark, 1 of smooth hammerhead, 19 of school shark and 15 servings of whiskery shark.
Oh,
so I guess it's, you know, the imported flake, imported shark that people are buying and maybe not so good suppliers.
Do you know what? I've loved your animal stories. Yeah, I've learned something
today. Appreciate that. And that's your news from the West Australian for Wednesday, January 25. And don't forget to subscribe to The West Live on your favourite podcast player. Maddie, talk to you tomorrow.
Will do. Have a good one, mate.
You've been listening to The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
Australia, an entire generation has been waiting for this.
This is Australian Idol.
The biggest star maker on the planet.
I'm God.
Is back.
You're 16 from Darwin.
No one knew their name.
Hello, Kelly.
Jennifer Hudson from Chicago.
Until Idol found them.
Now we're going to every corner of the country.
Leaving no stone unturned.
No bridge uncrossed.
No chance unseen.
To find your next Australian Idol.
Starts Monday, Jan 30 on 7 and 7+.